This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is the Breakfast Grill. One of the few sectors that has been a winner in this COVID-19 era has been logistics. So today we speak to Ali Logistics Property, otherwise known as ALP, which is Taiwan's first and largest institutional logistic property developer, who is setting up their first Southeast Asian logistic park in Malaysia. We speak to co-founder and CEO Charlie Chang to find out about their business and why this country is their investment destination of choice. Thank you for speaking to us, Charlie. Let's start with ALP. So what I do know is that it has 5 logistic parks constructed since 2014 in Taiwan. Yes. But tell us about your business. I mean, what differentiates you from other logistic operators like maybe Chung Hua Post or Evergreen?
A little background on who we are and what we did. So ALP, we founded in 2014. So relatively young company. From the first start, we see ourselves as a startup. We wanted to build a logistic infrastructure network for Taiwan. So that genesis is to aim to build 1 million square meters of logistic space and roughly investing over $1 billion. So that could comprise of roughly 20 to 30 warehouses throughout Taiwan. So from the get-go, we were aiming for that big portfolio. And that actually translates very much to what we are thinking in Malaysia. So we are not just building a couple of warehouses, but think about it, about the network infrastructure for logistics in Taiwan per se, also in Malaysia per se. So we are not just about buying a piece of land, maximize the property value, and then lease out or sell out. So we, ALP, is a company that focuses only on logistic property. Logistics is not a sexy industry.
It has become now, though.
It has. So when we started thinking, how do we make something that's not sexy, sexy?
Okay.
Because once they become sexy, we can attract resources, right?
Mm.
Money and talent. And once you have resources like money, investment money, and talent, then you could change the industry. So our genesis was to able to upgrade the entire industry through what we do, instead of just be part of a solution of industry.
All right.
So that was a big move.
Okay, so you mentioned money. All right, this is the interesting part where I would like to know, what is your business model? Because if you want to attract money, it's all about how much profit you can make, right, at the end of the day. So what would you say is your business model? And you say it's not just about renting out a space. It's more than that, right? So, I mean, is it almost like a bespoke service for each and every client where you add some value-added services and hence you get to charge a higher price, enjoy a better margin? Is that the difference between you and every other logistic operator at the moment?
Well, I think in Taiwan, what we have created, the understanding of this model is, our aim is to shorten the logistic supply chain. Right? So as a supply chain or logistic network, every node is an activity. Every node is a warehouse. Every node it's a different stage in that supply chain, right? So how can we shorten it together?
Mm.
Once it's shortened, cost becomes less. Like you see us, we build big logistic parks in Taiwan. So allow different suppliers to be seated close by each other. And that already shortens the supply chain. And adding automation is to solve other issues, to create efficiency or to prevent labor shortage. It's a different thing altogether. So in Taiwan, we were aiming to upgrade or to it's an industry level change. And then that goes ground up. And ground up is the property sector. So we even touch upon automation robotics. Not to my knowledge. And why do we do that? Because understanding how logistics might function 5 to 10 years from now will influence how I build the warehouse. Because every warehouse we build should last at least 20, 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So you cannot assume how that thing should function looking at now. Because in 5 years, if everybody wants to invest in automation, then your warehouse might not fit. Then that warehouse might not be suitable for clients to come in.
Is that reflected in your margins, though? Can you charge a premium? Because you're not listed, you're private. But I used ESR, which is listed in Hong Kong. I mean, they're one of the world's largest, right? They've got 22.6 million square meters in gross floor area. And their EBITDA margins are north of 35%. Mm. So does ALP have similar margins or even better?
No, I think from margin or as so. as a startup company thinking about these kind of things, we are trying to create something that's better and cheaper.
So you charge less than ESR?
Well, I'm not sure how much ESR charges, but we are charging competitive, but providing a better product.
So, like, typically, who are your clients?
In Taiwan, the likes of Estee Lauder, 3M, Decathlon, right, H&M. So you can see these are all multinationals.
How long do they sign these with you? I mean, how long do they last, these leases?
From short term to 3 years to as long as 20 years.
And they tend to be sticky, the clients? The retention rate is very high?
Yes, because our product is above market, and then we charge market. And then, so that thing also goes to why we are in Malaysia.
Okay.
Because these are all multinational, meaning they are in every place in the world, right?
Yeah.
So if they like the flavor that we provide, they say, hey, can you provide that in Malaysia? Can you provide that in Vietnam? Because in a way, that flavor or that understanding or that comfort feeling they have with us, can we provide that same service for them? And then, so we are brought in by clients, right? So that's, in a way, a more safer route for us, right? So it's a client pool instead of just venture into an unknown and start from ground zero again. So that awareness of ALP might be new to Malaysia, but we are not new to a lot of our clients.
So have you reached saturation point in Taiwan, though? I mean, you've got 5 parks. I mean, what are the plans in Taiwan specifically?
I think in Taiwan, we are only, at least from our original goal, halfway. So we are building another 500,000 square meters of space. But it doesn't mean it stops at 1 million square meters. So that is just a checkpoint for us. Because this industry previously wasn't sexy, so nobody really paid attention. And a lot of ambiguity. So once it becomes more transparent and people are more aware of it, I think the market is actually a lot bigger than you think. Because just people just wasn't aware of it. It did not exist.
Mm.
Yeah. So now that, like yourself, you start to say, oh, it's actually quite interesting industry that we never really thought of. Our thing was brought in the institutional investors from Taiwan that we invest in Taiwan. Now we are in Malaysia. So we are also reaching out to institutional investors that like to invest in these sort of projects. And for every region, we would welcome investors to participate. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, besides investments, we are actually adding up to talent. So like this, you never really thought about logistics being sexy. But if you actually think about ALP can do what Amazon does for itself, hey, that's a different story, right? So ALP does whatever Amazon does for everybody else. And then, so that's not just facility, that's about automation, robotics, IT integration, business models.
Inventory management.
Yes. We have dashboards and apps to help manage our facility and our clients, right? So this became a very interesting product instead of just building a shack to rent.
Now, you mentioned investors, and I'm curious about this because anything related to property tends to be expensive, right? Land is never cheap anywhere, even in Taiwan. Yeah. And in your early days, I know in 2014, you co-founded the business with Cathay Financial Holdings. So currently, are you still in partnership with them, or do you find individual investors for each of the parks that you build? I mean, what's the model like?
Well, okay, in Taiwan, Cathay Financial Holdings, one of their subsidiaries, Cathay Life. So Cathay Life is the biggest life insurance company in Taiwan, right? So they have allocations that need to be invested in real estate. And then, so uniquely, as you see, everybody in real estate or has big investment funds, they buy hotels, they buy office buildings, they buy everything else. But in Taiwan, previously, nobody really thought about investing in logistic property. Or at least the ones that were built wasn't up to par for them to invest, or at scale for them to invest.
Mm.
So that's why in Taiwan, back in 7.5 years ago, we built mega warehouses, that's grade A facilities, so they can invest in. And so this is actually a change of tide, because this is institutional investors versus standalone mom and pop individuals that can build warehouses. That's the difference.
So this gives me a hint of the kind of returns that, you know, you're probably giving your investors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it must be quite attractive, the yield, more than, I guess, cost of funds plus something?
No, usually. So I think from the perspective of investment yield, so it's risk versus return, right?
Yes.
So lower risk, returns a bit lower because risk is lower. But if it's high risk, then high return. And logistics is relatively low risk. So return is not spectacular, but it's very stable.
Okay. So what?
Yeah.
4-5% per annum?
Oh, it's different for different countries. Right? Because that's also to your interest rate and everything else. But if you're saying just in Taiwan per se, it's actually higher than the office buildings. So it's comparable to what you can buy as a real estate guy, right?
Yeah.
So in Malaysia, real estate return for office building is 5%.
Yes.
Then the other thing might be 6 or 7. It's a bit higher, but you know, it's not going to be 30, 50, right? It's because that's comparable. This is a very attractive, at least because of the COVID situation. Everybody in the e-commerce boom, everybody think, oh, I'll just think it's the new thing. But in a way, just to share with everyone, it's always been here. It's just nobody really noticed.
Okay, the other thing that we keep hearing about is, of course, supply chain shortages. What are you seeing at your ALP facilities and what are your clients saying? I mean, will it be resolved? Do you have any view on this? And is this actually good for ALP's business and margins, actually?
Well, I would think so, because currently a lot of our clients are stocking up stocks. So to prevent from, you know, stock shortages because of breakage in supply chain, right? A lot of clients are stocking up. So that means if you stock up 20% more, the industry needs 20% more warehouses. But what if after COVID slowdown, everybody starts to reduce to their normal volume, or maybe they reduce to their, you know, normal volume plus 5% extra. So that volatility, I think it's here to stay. Right now, the demand is high, but doesn't mean you'll stay up that high forever.
Okay.
But what we see as the must do is transparency or digitization of information about supply chain. That will help us, will help the client to be able to predict or see more transparent to how supply chain can be more efficient. And that is definitely a plus.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Charlie Chang, CEO of Ally Logistics Property, the largest institutional logistic property developer in Taiwan. When we come back, why Malaysia next? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Charlie Chang, CEO of Ally Logistics Property. Before the break, we were asking him about the competition and their business model. Charlie, we have to talk about the development of this $180 million, 10.92 hectare logistics park in Bukit Raja, Selangor, with so-called smart warehousing facility. Now, it's ALP's first foray outside Taiwan.
Yes.
Why Malaysia, though?
It was a serendipity situation. I mean, from Taiwan, outside of Taiwan, we were always aiming for Southeast Asia. So how do we connect dots from our experiences as well, clientele, as well as a lot of product offerings? How do we deliver that to different countries?
Mm.
And Malaysia came, I think it was back in three, four years ago. I had a chance to visit and fell in love with the country. So a lot of things about the infrastructure, the alignment and the clientele all fit the profile. And then so we decided more or less, why not Malaysia? So I think the infrastructure is definitely one of the best in the region, right? So it's good for logistics, but it just actually we saw that no supplier are doing the way we're doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think this is, in a way, a rich market for us to provide our services here.
Are you doing this on your own or will you have a local partner? And, you know, I'm curious, you mentioned investors, right? So do you have specific investors for Malaysia?
Yes, we do, on different facets. So we are also in contact with investors as well, partners.
Mm.
But in a way, we also think we cherish what we have. So going through this, we met a lot of different institutes, I mean, in a lot of different companies. So we're trying to find the right fit. We are not in a hurry to commit to specific anybody, but we welcome that, the opportunity to work with local companies.
So has work actually started? I mean, has the land been acquired, the lease been signed, and maybe the start of the construction works?
Yes, I think we are right at that stage right now, starting to start the construction work. So we are actually in procurement and construction. But as you see, the COVID kind of held the process for the last, you know, few months or so. So it's because we are very good at this, so we know how to navigate through this.
Okay.
But in a way, you can do only so much under you know, right now, the dynamic situation that everybody's in. So we are moving forward with this. And then we are signing up with different clients. So in a way, that's a very promising thing that prior to construction, this is not a build-to-suit, but it's a product offering that fits a lot of clients. And then right now that we're approaching them, a lot of them are signing up.
So are these the clients that you service in Taiwan, like Estee Lauder or DKSH? Similar?
Yeah, well, all these are multinational clients. Mm. And I think also a point of thing, this is that our first project, if everybody loves us, then everybody should come in. But I'm letting you know it's not, because their contract might not be up till the next 4 years, right? Mm. Maybe they might be up next year, which I won't be able to compete because I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
So there's different, I guess, constraints along with, you know, the real world situation. So what our aim is to build one Omega per year.
And Omega it's what you all term as your smart warehousing facility,
yes,
right?
Yes. So if you see this, we complete one every subsequent year after 2024. Mm. Then wherever their lease contract comes up, then we could approach them to say, okay, because we cannot wait for them, right? Say, okay, you're up by 2026 and then my space is done in 2024, then I wait 2 years for you.
Mm.
So we would have subsequent solution for them for 2026. So this is the way how we approach clients, and as well as, you know, to feed the market. And the volume of 1 million square meters of space, we cannot all build all at once either. So we had to able for the market to digest, as well as for us to cook the products.
You know, Malaysia, we're trying very hard to attract this foreign direct investment. Tell us, was it really easy for you to get all the regulatory and government approvals required to get this project off the ground? Were there any pain points?
Well, I think it's the tough part is actually from our own perspective, because we need time to understand Malaysia.
Okay.
We need time to understand the laws and the nuances and how shall we... So we did get a lot of assistance throughout the process. But I'm sure there's going to be issues that we haven't touched upon because we never went through it once.
Mm.
So the thing is relatively straightforward. But I mean, can we expedite, make it faster? We hope so. So our first project going through, our second project should be a lot easier. So this is something that we put on ourselves for us to adjust and accommodate, or to understand the laws and the issues that's in Malaysia and how can we perform better.
So you had no frustrations at all with dealing with, let's say, the different government agencies, you know, because land in Malaysia is a state matter and some other matters are federal government matters. So maneuvering all that, was it a particular headache for you or for any of your colleagues?
No. So in a way, I wouldn't say it's Malaysia. It's business. Right? So everything that you do...
It's relative, right? So businessmen want to find the place which is easiest as opposed to the most challenging.
It is, but then relative. But then also we put it on ourselves that we need to be more understandable and more knowledgeable about Malaysia. So is it us or is it the government or is it the local business? We don't know. So we just like, you know, first time we meet each other, we need to go through the process. But we can expedite that process to make, I mean, this is a partnership. We come in here to provide a service and hopefully, you know, to help and to assist and create value. So I think that's the mindset that we bring to what we do.
And with a price tag of $180 million for this industrial park, I'm just trying to understand, what will the return on investment be like? Or, you know, what kind of yield are you going to eventually offer? That's a lot of money.
Yes, I think the return would be very similar to industry norm. But hopefully this product being unique and smart logistic infrastructure, the attraction and the hook for it to accommodate clients' pain points and needs is stronger. So it's harder for them to leave us. So that's less risk, but return the same. In a way, I'm at an advantage.
Okay.
Right, so I'm not trying to say sell something that's better and more expensive. I'm trying to sell something that's better and at least market rate.
And you've done all the sums and it works.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Well, that so far it has in Taiwan. And I think that will translate to Malaysia as well.
Now, I know you're not stopping at Malaysia. Next is Vietnam, right? I see the logic of that, especially since it's one of the top destinations for foreign direct investment. But it's also a place where you actually see a lot of players, even Singapore companies. They've been there in the early 2000s. Are you late in the game, though?
We don't think so. So right now we are pitching, like we explained earlier, smart logistic infrastructure. What is that, right? Mm. So people have been building warehouses, but nobody been really building smart logistic infrastructure. So our correlation to the audience would be very much like 18 years ago. There are cell phones. The Motorola's of the world, the Nokia's of the world dominates. But 17 years ago, iPhone came out.
Yep.
So that transition from cell phone to smartphone is a big disruption. So we are thinking this is very similar process. Warehouse versus smart logistic infrastructure. What's the difference? So that transition, once we push it through and it works, how many people will abandon traditional warehouse functions and come into smart logistic infrastructure?
Mm.
And if that's the case, then the markets, in a way, we are early to the game instead of late to the game. So there's always opportunity for business to happen and make profits. It just depends on the product offering.
And I have a financial question, though, because would it make more sense for ALP to turn into a REIT? I mean, it allows for capital recycling and is clever financial engineering. So is this something ALP is considering?
Yes, I think all that, I think a lot of different funds, investments, opportunities, as well fund structures, as well as business models, I think it's all within our future. But when should we need to do that?
Mm.
So in a way, I think we are also, keep in mind, we are only 7.5-year-old company. We grew quite fast.
Mm.
And then, you know, so we've been venturing outside of Taiwan, looking around for the last 4 years already. So this is not just love at first sight. We actually did a lot of homework and we spent time understanding the situation locally. So going forward, a lot of people ask us, are we going to IPO? Are we going to do a lot of things? I think we are. I mean, because right now, sky's the limit. What can we do? And are we going to stop at Asia or is it the world? We don't know. So 7.5 years ago, we like to be the best and the biggest in Taiwan. And after we've done that, so we are right now the biggest in Taiwan after 7 years. But how can we accommodate Malaysia? I think it's just focus one battle at a time. But I think in Malaysia, in Vietnam, Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, all these are possibles.
And then is that the time for the REIT then?
Maybe, yes.
But not now?
Oh, now I think we are planning for different options.
Okay.
We're planning for different options. So we like a more of an innovative disruptor. Nothing is a no because we keep everything open. And then whatever works, we do, right? And whatever doesn't work, we scratch it out and do it again. So I think that is more of how we see ourselves as innovators.
All right. Thank you for your time today. And the Breakfast Grill was Charlie Chang, CEO of Ali Logistics Property. I'm Wong Shanling, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.